Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 28, it says this: "Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully." This is our text. Now, I'm not telling any of you something that you don't already know when I say that proclaiming, teaching, and applying the word of the Lord can be a tough business. And few people knew that better than the author of this text before us today, the prophet Jeremiah. When God came and called on him to serve, Jeremiah initially tried to disqualify himself, crying out and citing his youth. "Ah, Lord God," Jeremiah said in chapter 1, verse 6, "behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of us have used that excuse or something like it? "I don't know how to do it. I'm not gifted in that way. I don't have the training." Well, it was the same basic excuse that I used more than once many years ago when I was encouraged to become a pastor. And Jeremiah knew from God himself that he was actually doomed to ineffectiveness. God told him that he would preach what God told him to preach, but that the people would not listen. It can't be any more straightforward than what Yahweh tells Jeremiah in chapter 7, verse 27. Quote, "You shall call to them, but they will not answer you." Unquote. That was unbearably hard on Jeremiah's esteem and confidence. In chapter 20, verse 7, he complains to God, "I have become a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me." Does that sound familiar? And to make matters worse, Jeremiah had competition. For every word that he proclaimed, there were many other so-called prophets proclaiming the opposite message, one that was far more popular with the people than the word Yahweh had directed Jeremiah to teach. You see, the time in which Jeremiah served as prophet was during the final days of the kingdom of Judah. The ungodly Babylonians were on the cusp of conquering the land and taking the people into captivity, away from the promised land. Their faithful king, Josiah, had been killed in battle, and both of the next two kings, Josiah's two sons, quote, "did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh," unquote. This meant that Jeremiah became a target of great suffering and persecution. The king at the time of this text, Jehoiakim, much preferred the messages he heard from the other so-called prophets, the ones who told the people of Judah that they had nothing to fear, that peace and good times were right around the corner, even though anyone that was paying attention to the news knew that the Babylonians had already conquered Israel to the north and they were on the move their way. You and I, in our current culture and time, might have heard this kind of preaching and teaching. It's called market-driven ministry. And it actually has been growing in huge popularity here in America for many years now. After all, this type of religious message is the logical byproduct of market-driven world in which we live. If you've been on any form of social media for any length of time, or if you've even heard of how it works, you know that the various advertisements appearing on your screen are based on your interests. And how do they grab your attention? By your previous internet searches, by the products that you have bought, or the online stories and websites that you've looked at before. And it's not some type of evil magic conjured up by your cell phone or tablet, as many people want to say. It is simply a deliberate partnership between advertisers and retailers and the social media providers. Their goal, they say, is to, quote, give us more of what we want, unquote. So, if you buy a shirt online, you will see more ads from the same seller offering you similar products. Buy a book, same thing. Buy a hand tool, and you'll soon learn about the entire product line offered by that manufacturer. It's a simple idea of human interaction. Give the people what they want. And to be honest, it's not all bad. If you are shopping for tools, for example, you probably would be annoyed if you just receive a whole bunch of ads for women's blouses. And likewise, if you're looking for a new dress, you probably would rather not receive information about the latest option in power drills. But look, this concept, even though the technology I'm talking about is new, this concept is nothing new. It is exactly what was going on 2,500 years ago, when the so-called prophets in Jeremiah's day gave the people the kind of messages that they knew they wanted to hear, even if it was the opposite of what they needed to hear. Yahweh sums up their message in verses 16 and 17. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of Yahweh. They say continually to those who despise the word of Yahweh, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." Look, no one likes to ponder the impending destruction of their homes and cities. No one really likes to hear that the only way to avoid that outcome is to submit to God in repentance, to return with broken and contrite hearts to the one who saved them and made them to be his set apart and holy people. It's so much easier, so much more pleasing to our sinful hearts to hear that everything's just going to be all right. That despite the news coming from the north, you can just keep on living and acting as you please. That any news of disaster, it's just all a big lie. None of that matters. Just keep doing whatever it is that makes you happy. That is the deadly lie in all of this. And it lives in full strength still today. The only thing the people wanted to hear was peace and love and tranquility and harmony. Never mind the truth. And sadly, the popular prophets were all too happy to scratch the people's itch, proclaiming peace and tranquility rather than judgment and impending wrath to come. But God is not out to win a popularity contest. His call, quite simply, is to be faithful in proclaiming his word of truth. Because that's the word that warns, corrects, and leads souls to repentance, faith, and eternal salvation. Sadly, the problem Jeremiah faced was not confined to his time. The temptation to give people what they want rather than what they need has dogged God's people and God's prophets throughout all of the ages. Proclaiming and sharing God's holy word, it's a tough business. We know as a church, we know something needs to be said to this world. So why not just give them what they want to hear? That's the temptation that we face. And why? Well, people say, because if we don't, then they may not like us. They may go somewhere else where they can and will hear what strokes their agenda and ego. But friends, if we surrender to that temptation and we only preach what's popular, what happens? We reduce our Lord to a God that is made in our own image. And we take the place of God instead. And we, along with those who follow our false declarations from God, we end up forever separated from God in the eternal torments of hell. In verse 23, Yahweh asks, "Am I a God at hand, declares Yahweh, and not a God far away?" I mean, look, most of us like the idea of a God who is near to us, who serves us the way that we want to be served. And in fact, the one true God is near to us. He has promised that, to be with us always to the end of the age. But that message can be so easily twisted and distorted to make God's promise of closeness line up with whatever our heart fancies at the time, whatever desires we may have, so that any distinction between us and God just disappears. Jeremiah counters that fallacy with the message of a God far away, as he says. A God who knows, as verse 24 says, anything that we may try to hide in secret places. Yes, the true God and his power and judgment is far beyond our comprehension. It is inscrutable beyond anything that we can ever imagine. In his wisdom, then, this transcendent Lord promises judgment against those who preach their own imaginings. Verses 19 and 20. Behold, the storm of the Lord. Ooh, that's kind of scary. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly, says Jeremiah. And eventually in 587 BC, about 1,000 years after this was written, the storm did come. Judgment did fall upon the false prophets and all those who listened to them. Jerusalem was completely overrun. The dreams of the so-called prophets became nightmares. And Yahweh's fiery wrath burned upon the people. All of Jerusalem was destroyed and her people carried away into captivity. You know, I said 1,000 years. It was actually 100 years. Added a zero there. Yet even in his wrath, God refused to forsake them. Just before this text in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, God gave this life-altering promise to his people. Listen to this. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. Yahweh is our righteousness. That righteous branch, as you know, would prove to be the ultimate prophet, the Word of God in human flesh. He's the one that came about 1,000 years after this was written. Like Jeremiah, he, Jesus, stood in the council of Yahweh to see and hear His Word. He proclaimed that Word faithfully to perfection. And like Jeremiah, he too was opposed by many because of doing so. The crowds and the culture, they looked to Jesus to proclaim world peace, victory over their earthly oppressors. But He would not bow to that pressure and preach whatever they wanted to hear. Instead, Jesus proclaimed what they needed to hear, even if it turned families upside down, as He says in our gospel reading. Even if it brought turmoil into the hearts of those who heard Him. Jeremiah had to contend with false prophets, oppression, and lies. And yet he remained faithful to the end. Jesus also had to face the storm of rejection and persecution. Just as Jesus said it would in our gospel reading today, the clouds would rise and the winds would blow. And on one particular Friday, the storm against Jesus finally hit its ultimate climax. And Jesus Himself became the lightning rod, if you will, for God's anger against all sin. Against all who pervert and misuse His Word. Against all who proclaim their dreams rather than the Word of Yahweh. It's only as we see Jesus hanging there on the cross where we should be, paying the price for our punishment, that we understand clearly God's real message for us, as He said we would in verse 20. Only in the message of Christ crucified do you and I find what we really need to hear. For it's there that we see God's fire burn and blaze against all sin, against death, against all of the lies within our hearts and minds. It's there that His hammer of truth shatters the prideful rocks of our hardened hearts so that we, and here's the ultimate goal, so that we are prepared in humility and repentance to find and receive God's gift of true, lasting peace and full and free forgiveness. Yes, God's wrath is poured out upon Jesus, and in Him, as with fire, we are cleansed and forgiven. Today, our God comes to us in His Word proclaimed and His sacrament of grace, and He feeds us with everlasting life, giving us true and lasting peace. So yes, proclaiming, teaching, and living by the Word that Yahweh gives to us, it can be a tough business. The temptations will never cease, pressuring us to water down, dumb down, and adjust the message to fit our desires, to fit the passions of this day. But my dear Christians, week after week, over the years, you and I, we have stood in the council of Yahweh through this, His divine service, in confirmation class, for example, in Bible study, in daily devotion. And it's there, it's here, that we have seen and heard His Word, the Word that we have and must faithfully proclaim. As Psalm 119, verse 88 says, it is in God's steadfast love, through the testimony of God's mouth, that He gives us life. That Word is not driven by the market. It does not change with whatever the current fad or political agenda may be. No, when God's prophet, whoever that may be, speaks God's Word faithfully, that's the truth that feeds souls with His life-giving grace and forgiveness. The truth that gathers and brings people to faith in Jesus alone as the only true promise of life and salvation fulfilled. This is the word, dear friends, that calms our troubles, that soothes our aching hearts with the peace of eternity in paradise with our God and our Lord. To Him be all the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.